Neil Delamere's Sunday Best. Today
FM. Now, do you ever feel like you know your country, but you could know so much more? We have just the book for you, whether you're looking to learn more about Ireland or just up your table quiz game. It's called Ireland, 1001 Things You Need to Know. And the author of the book is Richard Killeen. Good afternoon, Richard.
Afternoon, Neil.
Before we get to the book, we'll get to that in a minute. It's very comprehensive. How did you come up with all the stuff? Like, there's various different sources in this.
Yeah, well, I used the obvious sources, National Library, the National Archives, my own books, a reasonable collection in this area myself, and also leaning very much on friends whom I acknowledge in the acknowledgements, people who know stuff that I don't know or I'm slightly unsure of and that you need to double check with. So you put it all together and that's more or less the basis of it.
I suppose if it's one of your friends who still remembers something, if it's memorable, it's an interesting tidbit, and then you go off and you corroborate it, and then if it still sticks in their head after however many years, it's worth inclusion in the book because it is obviously memorable, as we say. Now, I say it's a tidbit because is this a book that you said to me just before I went on air, you went, no one will read this cover to cover. Because it is a dip in and dip out book, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I gave a copy to one of my daughters and she stuck it straight in the loo and she says, it's a perfect loo book, Dad. So I think she's got good judgment. I think she's spot on.
The book is, for the most part, facts, highest and lowest points in Ireland and population and that sort of stuff. And you get a lot of stuff from the Central Statistics Office. You have given your own take on sites of outstanding beauty and beaches. That's just personal preference, I assume.
Completely personal preference. You ask 10 people their favourite sites, their favourite beaches, their favourite this, that and the other, you'll get 10 different answers. So I thought, well, I may as well just give my take on that.
Now, give us a few of them.
I'll take one that I think is not as well known as, or not as obvious as a number of the others. Just outside Nina, if you take a back road through a little place called Portrow, you come to a viewing point which gives you a fantastic view over Loch Derg and across to the hills of Clare on the far side, and it is stunningly beautiful. And it just drives home, well, certainly to me, what a very, very beautiful country we live in.
Yeah,
and how lucky we are to
And sometimes
here.
The inland counties as well don't get the break they deserve in terms of tourism. So I'm glad you mentioned that, I have to say.
Yeah.
And you also have your favourite beaches. You have to include North Bull Island because you're a Northsider yourself.
Absolutely.
In the book, you cover all forms of Irish people, from the pre-Celts, which you admit that we know almost nothing about, and as you put it yourself, to the new Irish. You do have a list of 10 immigrants who made a difference. First of all, you do cover the fact that we are a nation of immigration as well as emigration.
Yeah, I think that's important because we've traditionally thought of ourselves as emigrants. And I do include some stuff on immigration. I have a chapter there called 1 to 10. But I go to 1 of this and 2 of that and so on up to 10. And the 5 number that I use in that is a place called Five Points in New York, which gives me a hinge for Irish emigration to America in the 19th century. But we think of ourselves primarily as emigrants. It cuts both ways. The traffic runs in both directions. And here we are sitting in the centre of Dublin. Dublin wouldn't exist if it weren't for immigrants. Now, I know the Vikings sometimes get a bad press, but they did start all the Irish cities.
Yeah,
that's a pretty impressive contribution.
Dublin and Limerick and Waterford
Dublin,
and everywhere
Limerick,
else. Waterford
Cork
is the oldest city.
It is,
well.
Yeah.
And of course, I know a little bit about this. This is the centre of Dublin, but it wasn't in the Viking era. It's back down there. Fish Animal Street is the oldest street in Dublin.
Indeed it is.
Give us the 10 immigrants who made a difference, because that jumped out at me. I love a list. I mean, we all know the clickbaits are lists. And you have 10 immigrants who have made a difference, and you start with the national apostle, of course, St. Patrick.
Well, St. Patrick was a gentleman, as the old ballad says, but he was what we'd now call English. He was a British Roman.
Yep.
And as we all know, he came here originally as a slave. Now, the thing about St. Patrick that always struck me is that he is the first living person in the history of Ireland of whom we have any certain knowledge, because he wrote it down and
yep.
The writing survived. Now, it's only scraps of stuff, but
his Confessio still exists.
It does.
Letters to the Soldiers of Caroticus.
That's the one. Those
I
are
seem
the two.
To remember.
There. Oh, you're spot on.
Yeah.
You've been doing your homework. You don't need me at all.
I do. He is definitely an immigrant who made a difference. I mean, some people would argue that if he Christianised Ireland, although he didn't necessarily necessarily, certainly very influential. You had Palladius before him, another bishop. If we weren't Christianized, we wouldn't have saved civilization by, you know, it's a big step, but it has been argued in a particular book. Number two, Sitrick Silkenbeard. Who was he?
He was the king of Dublin in the early Viking days, and he was the first person to have coinage struck in his name, with his bearing his image. So back to that Viking thing, of the foundation of not just Dublin, but of most other Irish cities, except Belfast. He was, as I say, he was one of the early Viking boyos.
Now, you mentioned boyos, I like that. That's what the monks wrote them down. Oh dear, the boyos are on the way again. You mentioned Belfast there. Yeah. You do actually, because you are nothing but comprehensive, if not comprehensive, Sir Arthur Chichester.
Yeah.
Promoter of the Ulster Plantation and the founder of Belfast proper.
Belfast, effectively, yeah. I mean, Belfast is unusual in that all the other major Irish coastal towns are up and running by the late Middle Ages, by, say, about 1400, in one form or another, including Galway, which is often overlooked and was actually a very prosperous town in the Middle Ages. Belfast is a Johnny-come-lately. It doesn't start until the early 17th century, and it all starts with the plantation. And it all comes from the fact that Ulster was transformed in about a 30-year period from being the most Gaelic province in Ireland, with the least English penetration, to the direct opposite, where it became the least Gaelic.
And if you ever look at just the Battle of Kinsale and O'Neill and O'Donnell and how close they were to winning that, it is remarkable. It is a series of missteps. But
it
anyway,
went to extra time.
It's a long story.
Lost on penalties.
You also wade into the... By the way, this isn't all just history.
No.
You go to Maud Gonne, obviously history, but you go Tom McGinty, the Dice Man, Dublin street artist, relatively recent history, one of the 10 immigrants who make a difference. He was from
Glasgow, and some people, now if you're very young you won't remember him, but you don't have to be very old to remember this guy who used to stand stock still in Grafton Street. And that basically was his shtick, that he just absolutely stationary, and every now and again he'd wink at a kid. And now I know this guy's doing this all the time now, and it's a commonplace, but back then in the 80s, I suppose, it was unusual. And look, every city, Dublin is no exception, every city loves a character, and he was a character, and he was a kind guy, he was a nice guy.
One of the highlights in the book is within the chapter on nation and state and parish pump, and given the situation we're in at the moment with the government, it's fairly timely that we look at some of your 10 Irish political quotations. Now, I'll give you a second. Do you want to look it up in the book?
Right.
I was aware, we had last week, we had John Lloyd, who is overseeing QI. And when someone writes a book like this, if you just throw something at them, unless they have the book to hand, they've gone, well, I wrote this book a while ago. You're going to need to give me a couple of seconds to look up the particular thing.
Thanks. I bought that time and used it well.
There you go.
I'm there.
Pick one.
My favourite, because I'm interested in language, is this. This is from Bertie Ahern. And Bertie is explaining something in the Dáil, touching on the one of the tribunals.
Is he clarifying things? That's what
he's
he does.
Attempting to. Okay. Listen to this.
Okay.
For legal and professional reasons, neither myself nor my advisors have been in a position to respond to any of the accuracy and completeness of the reports about these issues, so it's not correct. If I said so, I wasn't correct. So I can't recall if I did say, but I didn't say. But if I did say, I didn't mean to say that these issues could not be dealt with until the end of the Mahan Tribunal. That's not what Revenue said. Now, if anybody who's listening to this can explain that or translate it into English, I think it'd be a public service.
Yeah, I mean, that is the shorter ones than that. If the word no was removed from the English language, Ian Paisley would be speechless.
Speechless,
as John Hume. I mean, he did change his ways at that point. Among the best traders Ireland has ever had, Mother Church ranked at the very top, a massive obstacle to the path to equality and freedom. She has been a force for conservatism to ward off threats to her own security and influence. Who wrote it? Bernadette Devlin said that.
Bernadette Devlin, Bernadette Bogalski. And I also like the one from Oliver Flanagan. who's the father of the current Minister for Justice,
Charlie Flanagan.
And he said, "Let us hope and trust that there are sufficient proud and ignorant people left in this country to stand up to the intellectuals who are out to destroy faith and fatherland." That's fighting talk.
Well, there you go. Yeah, it has. It's redolent of and reminiscent of what they said recently. Michael Gove, "We are sick of experts."
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Ireland 1001 Things You Need to Know by Richard Killeen is out now. It would suit an Irish person who's interested in their own country, but also I think it has one eye on people abroad as well, because as you say, you can dip in, dip out and learn something new every single time you have a look or a gander at any page you want. Thanks a million, Richard.
Okay, thank you.
Neil Delamere's Sunday Best. Today FM. Songs in the Key of Life.